Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
Tonight, I want to start a new mini-series, which I've entitled One Way to Apostasy. Now, you know, there's only one way to salvation, which I mention John 14:6 just about every week, it seems. And I like to reiterate, you know, that's one of my favorite verses, especially for dealing with the things we're dealing with in this day and age. But I've been pointing out that you know, there are many ways, there's one way to salvation, but there's many ways to apostasy. And I've been pointing this out in previous podcasts, but tonight we're going to start looking at one way that I haven't gone into detail before, and that way is through so-called Christian magazines. I'm still qualifying this mini-series under my general liberalism heading, since, as you will see, much of the content I cover will include liberal perversions of truth, but of course there are other deceptions in these magazines that we will uncover as well. I probably don't need to remind you of the sad condition of the professing church these days, but I will anyway. I think four recent online articles drive home this point, and I have previously shared from these four articles before, but I think they're worth repeating. The first one, of course, is from the Christian Post. It's entitled, Survey, 61% of practicing Christians agree with some new spirituality beliefs. A new survey reveals the scope of influence of non-Christian belief systems on the mindsets of practicing Christians, with large percentages of them agreeing with ideas from other faiths and secular philosophies. Worldviews like new spirituality, secularism, postmodernism, and Marxism have affected the beliefs of Christians around the world and how it should be. Their widespread influence upon Christian thinking is evident not only among competing worldviews, but even among competing religions, the survey report reads. And this is a survey from the Barna the Barna Institute in cooperation with Summit Ministries. I left that out. Now, in a web-based survey conducted in March of 1,456 practicing Christians, researchers asked the sample question if they agreed with several statements, or the sample people that took it, I should say, that are rooted in so-called new spirituality. 61% of them affirmed at least one of the questions. Nearly 30% agreed that all people pray to the same God or spirit, no matter what name they use for that spiritual being. About that same percentage of people said they believe that meaning and purpose come from becoming one with all that is. The influence of this spirituality has also seeped into the thinking of Christians on matters of ethics, with approximately one-third believing in a form of karma. Which 32% of respondents said they agreed with the statement, if you do good, you will receive good. If you do bad, you will receive bad, which, although not found in Scripture, appeals to a sense of justice many have. This research really crystallizes what Barna has been tracking in our country as an ongoing shift away from Christianity as the basis for a shared worldview. We have observed and reported on increasing pluralism, relativism, and moral decline among Americans and even in the church. Nevertheless, it is striking how pervasive some of these beliefs are among people who are actively engaged in the Christian faith. Because fragments and similarities to Christian teachings exist within other systems of thought, this poses a challenge. Some may recognize and latch on to these ideas, not realizing they are distortions of biblical truths. The call for the church and its teachers and thinkers is to help Christians dissect popular beliefs before allowing them to settle into their own ideology. The survey also presented statements rooted in postmodernism, secularism, and Marxism, asking Christians if they agreed with them. Those numbers were lower than those who agreed with new spirituality. Still, overall, 54% agreed with some postmodernist views. 36% accepted ideas associated with Marxism, and 29% said they believe ideas based on secularism. And we can thank progressives like Tony Campolo and Jim Wallace, and emergents like Brian McLaren, Rob Bell, and then, of course, Norman Vincent Peale and Robert Schuller, for these influences upon the church, these bad negative influences. More specifically, 10% of practicing Christians said they believe the secular view that a belief has to be proven by science to know that it is true. The postmodern statement, "What is morally right or wrong depends on what an individual believes," resonated strongly with 23% of practicing Christians. Now, another article from Gleanings is from Christianity Today, but this is called Gleanings. Many practicing Christians agree with Marxism. This is by Morgan Lee, by the way, and other competing worldviews. Barna also influences the influence of postmodernism, secularism, and new spirituality in the pews. They identify as Christians, attend church at least once a month, and say their faith is very important in their lives. Barna Group calls them practicing Christians. I would call them malpracticing Christians. And this is kind of a repeat of the article, some of the information in this article, so I won't repeat. I'll just carry on and not repeat what I've already said before. Another Barna... Okay, that's... All right, I'm going to skip that. Thank you. All right, the new spirituality. All people pray to the same God or Spirit, no matter what name they use for that spiritual meaning. Meaning and purpose come from becoming one with all that is. And if you do good, you will receive good. I'm kind of a repeat there. Postmodernism, no one can know for certain what meaning and purpose there is to life. What is morally right or wrong depends on what an individual believes. And if your beliefs offend someone or hurt their feelings, it is wrong. Now, that's narcissism, I believe. Marxism, private property encourages greed and envy. That's 11% of Christians believe that. The government, rather than individuals, should control as much of the resources as necessary to ensure that everyone gets their fair share. That's 14%. And if the government leaves them alone, businesses mostly do what's right. Strongly disagree with that statement, 15%. Okay, the next article is called The American Dream. It's from the American Dream blog. Days of Lot. New survey finds that evangelical Christians' support for gay marriage has more than doubled. This is by Michael Snyder. And I'm not going to... I'm going to reference that article, and then you can check that out for yourself. I guess the title pretty much says all I need to say on that one. And then Elisa Childers has an article. It says, Five signs your church might be heading towards progressive Christianity. Several years ago, my husband and I began attending a local evangelical non-denominational church, and we loved it. Today, that church is a self-titled progressive Christian community. Back then, I had never heard of progressive Christianity, and even now it's difficult to pin down what actually qualifies someone as a progressive Christian due to the diversity of beliefs that fall under that designation. However, there are signs, certain phrases and ideas that seem to be consistent in progressive circles. Here are five danger signs to watch for in your church. Number one, there is a lowered view of the Bible. Number two, feelings are emphasized over facts. Three, essential Christian doctrines are open for reinterpretation. Historic terms are redefined. And the heart of the gospel message shifts from sin and redemption to social justice. Now, all of these articles, I think, reflect the influence, or many of the influences, that are bringing about the present-day apostasy, which will lead ultimately to the great falling away that Scripture tells us about. So these articles just basically kind of reflect. But what I'm going to get into in the next several podcasts is what's going on in so-called Christian magazines and how they've brought... or they've been part of the reason why we've been brought to this place in history and in this time. Those headlines really say it all. How did we get so far from God's truth? And one way, as I say, has been through Christian magazines. Now, many Christian magazines have come and gone in the past. There was one called Eternity, which I used to read, and Moody Monthly, and they were basically pretty good magazines. And then, of course, there's also been some bad ones that have come and gone. But these are obviously the ones I'm going to be dealing with in the next podcast are the ones that I consider bad. And anyway, it says that, I point out, but just as there used to be good Christian publishers and recording companies, and not so much anymore because they've been bought by secular interests, the same goes for many Christian magazines. Not all, of course. We will look at some of the worst and yet most influential magazines, and at the conclusion of this series, I will give my personal recommendation of some of the good ones that are still out there. One Christian bookstore that I visited recently said they don't carry any magazines anymore, but they said you can still subscribe online to both hard copy and digital forms. And then there are other bookstore chains, some of the national chains, I believe, that do still carry some of the hard copies in the stores. I only checked with the one bookstore locally. The content, really, is what I'm getting at, is still available, in other words, online, both in digital or hard copy forms. Now, these magazines, in other words, aren't totally defunct, even though you may not find hard copies in Christian bookstores, etc. The ones we will examine are still available, but I want to look at some of the older and newer issues that I have personally available, and to show the steady decline in soundness of doctrine and the march toward apostasy. I will be moving fast in this series, as I generally do, and using sort of a shotgun scatter approach, so don't worry if you can't remember all the names and movements that I mention. You can always re-listen to the podcast. The point is to help familiarize you with the deception and the deceivers that are popping up in these magazines. Now, the first magazine that I want to look at, I refer to really as the Lunatic Fringe. G. Richard Fisher actually referred to this magazine, Charisma, as the mad magazine of Christianity. And, you know, in regards to that, a magazine that I'm not going to be going into any detail is called The Voice of Evangelism, and it's Perry Stone's magazine. And in the cover on one of his magazines, he's got an article, which I haven't read. It's an older magazine. It says, Pentecostals Gone Wild. You know, now, you know, I have some friends that are Pentecostals. I have some charismatic Pentecostals. I have Baptists. I have all kinds of friends of all kinds of backgrounds. So I really don't care to offend Pentecostals. But, you know, I just quote that from this magazine because Perry Stone himself is a Pentecostal, and he's the one that put this this on his cover of his magazine, Pentecostals Gone Wild. And I guess that's how you could characterize Charisma, the mad magazine of Christianity, is Pentecostals Gone Wild. Now, not all Pentecostals, obviously, and not all charismatics. In fact, many do a good job of defending through discernment-type ministries the truths of biblical Christianity. So, you know, please don't misunderstand that I'm mischaracterizing or lumping everybody into the same bag here. Now, the first magazine that I want to look at, the Charisma, is an older magazine from February 2011. And no sooner than you open the first page of this magazine, you have an advertisement for Amazing Facts. And, of course, there's a picture of Doug Batchelor, who, if you know anything about Amazing Facts, if you know anything about Seventh-day Adventists, you would know that the Amazing Facts program is a Seventh-day Adventist program. And, of course, in past podcasts, I've pointed out that the Seventh-day Adventist is actually a cult which has traveled sort of under the radar in many Christian circles for years. But do not be deceived, this is a cult. And of course, we're not here tonight to go into detail about the Seventh-day Adventists. My point is how lacking in discernment Charisma magazine is, and was, you know, but in this particular instance, and promoting a Seventh-day Adventist, well, the Seventh-day Adventist cult. Now, the next Charisma magazine I want to look at is the January 2012 issue. And in this issue, of course, the cover story, I don't want to get ahead of myself here, is one of the cover stories, 2012, America's Final Warning, Messianic Rabbi Jonathan Cahn delivers the harbinger for a nation in crisis. Now, Jonathan Cahn, as you may know, is known to some people as the Cahn Man. He has appeared on many what I would call very bad talk shows, Christian talk shows. And that in itself should have been a red flag for many Christians, as he's appeared on shows, the Jim Baker Show, Sid Roth Show, Pat Robertson's show, and a few others, which I won't go into detail in listing here. Berean Call Ministry, discernment ministry that Dave Hunt started a year or two ago on their conference, they had Dave James come and speak concerning the Harbinger, and also in their excellent newsletter in the August 2012 and the June 2012 issues, they had one article was The Harbinger, A Matter of Critical Discernment by T.A. McMahon, who is the leader of the Berean Call now. And also, they had a Dave James article, a critique of Jonathan Cahn's book. Then in the August 2012 issue, they had the Harbinger, Fact or Fiction? Does Isaiah 9:10 really contain an ancient mystery that holds the secret of America's future? And again, they featured Dave James, the Harbinger, Fact or Fiction, excerpts from a new book by Dave James. And they, of course, had, as I say, I believe it was last year, not this present year, I think it was last year's conference, they had Dave James come and speak at least twice concerning the Harbinger, and I think also the Shemitah that Cahn has been promoting. Now, even some otherwise good, so-called good discernment ministries have endorsed Cahn, and that, of course, is a real shame. But, you know, I guess I could say nobody's perfect, and not all discernment ministries are created equal, and not all discernment ministries agree on all things. But I think it is unfortunate that he has got not only a pass but an endorsement from certain Christian discernment ministries. Now, one other article that I just actually recently picked up, and I've used this Study, Grow, and Know website before because I think the writer just does an excellent work. I don't know his actual name. He lists himself or his articles under Modres, M-O-D-R-E-S, files. And again, the website is study-grow-know. And I've quoted before, as I say, he does good work. But anyway, he had an article from June of 2017, Jonathan Cahn and the Hebrew Roots Movement. And I want to read just a little bit from that article for you. He says though I thought my last article on the sabbatical year cycle, or the Shemitah, was actually going to be the final one, it turns out I was wrong. What I failed to point out is found within the dangers of the Hebrew Roots Movement. Admittedly, it is easy to get sucked into this movement because Gentile Christians tend to believe that we are somehow connected to Jews in a spiritual sense. I've heard more than one Christian exclaim that they are spiritual Jews. This is based on a faulty interpretation of Romans, especially chapters 9 through 11. Christian may Christians may pick out a verse or two from Romans 9 through 11 and miss the context completely. In much of this section, Paul is talking about what it means to be a true Jew. He says that a true Jew is not one outwardly. He says that early on in Romans 2:28, but he later defines what makes a true Jew and compares a true Jew with a false Jew. Just because someone was born as a Jew does not necessarily make them a true Jew in God's eyes. However, Paul is also clear that a Gentile is never considered by God to be a true Jew in God's eyes. However, Paul is also clear, I don't want to repeat myself. Let me start that over. He later defines what makes a true Jew and compares a true Jew with a false Jew. Just because someone was born as a Jew does not necessarily make them a true Jew in God's eyes. However, Paul is also clear that a Gentile is never considered by God to be a Jew. Please read Romans 9 through 11 in one sitting. Okay, he goes on to say, one of the reasons, and I failed to point this out, that Jonathan Cahn is so widely accepted today is because too many Christians, Gentiles, want to see themselves as Jewish. For some reason, we think that being Jewish is better than being simply a Gentile Christian. Paul and the writer of Hebrews makes this abundantly clear that this is not the case and that spiritually there is no Gentile Jew, male, female, slave or free, and that's Galatians 3:11 and 3:28. When it comes to salvation, Jesus destroyed the partition that had previously separated everyone with respect to salvation. But in today's world, the Hebrew Roots movement is out to rebuild that partition. It does so by elevating Judaism over and above Christianity. Moreover, it insists that Christians have been removed from their roots, Judaism, and need to get back to them. These people ignore the findings of the Jerusalem Council of Acts 15. The premise of the Hebrew Roots movement is the belief that the church has veered far from the true teachings and Hebrew concepts of the Bible. The movement maintains that Christianity has been indoctrinated with the culture and beliefs of Greek and Roman philosophy, and that ultimately biblical Christianity, taught in churches today, has been corrupted with a pagan imitation of the New Testament Gospels. To remedy this situation, the Hebrew Roots movement teaches that we need to move back towards Judaism. This often starts with the correct belief that if we as Christians would learn more about the world of Judaism and begin to see the Bible through Jewish eyes, we would have a greater understanding of the Bible. This is true. There are many idioms, figures of speech, and more that are specific to Jewish culture within the pages of Scripture. The more we know about those things, the greater our understanding of God's Word will be. But from there, it is somewhat easy to become caught up in the whole Jewish thing, seeing yourself as a spiritual Jew, wanting to buy a Bible that has Jewish roots to it, and even buying a yarmulke if you're a man. Those involved in the Hebrew Roots movement often adopt a Jewish outlook on life. Many Hebrew Roots congregations are made up mainly of Gentiles and are led by a Gentile rabbi, usually a Gentile who calls himself a Messianic Christian. This movement, back to Judaism, was dealt with at the Jerusalem Council, as he mentioned before, in Acts 15, and that should have been the end of it. He goes on to say, but this is also why Jonathan Cahn's books are doing so well, and I have neglected to mention this previously. He tugs at the heartstrings of Christians who want to identify with Judaism because Jesus was and is Jewish. Who among us would not want to go back to the time of Jesus and follow him around, admiringly receiving everything he said and did? We would want to be like him, right? But what many forget is that Judaism was the first phase in God's plan, and the festivals, the law, etc., were fulfilled by Jesus. This does not mean that since Jesus obeyed the law to the nth degree, Christians don't have to do so. On the contrary, Christians are obligated to obey every aspect of God's moral law. However, it is clear from Scripture that Christians are not obligated to observe Jewish festivals. The festivals, the feasts, the sabbatical year cycles, or Shemitah, the Passover, and everything else associated with Judaism was given only to the nation of Israel. No other nation was expected to observe the things that Israel observed. Foreigners who became part of Israel were expected to observe at least some of the ceremonial laws, but not those outside Israel. Christianity is the fulfillment of Judaism, and it takes us beyond it. As a Christian, I can and should study the festivals, the feasts, and the rest in order to gain greater insight into Jesus. I should not study those things in order to begin observing them or implementing them in my own life. Jesus fulfilled all. America was not founded by God, but because Jonathan Cahn makes a case for it, it must be true, right? America was allowed to come into existence, and it will go out of existence in God's timing. We are not spiritually connected with Israel anymore than Christians are spiritually Jewish. And this, of course, is what Cahn promotes, this connection with America and Israel. I firmly believe Jonathan Cahn is pushing a form of Hebrew roots theology, yet it is patently clear from Paul, a Pharisee of Pharisees, a Hebrew of Hebrews, that Judaism is a type of what was fulfilled in Jesus and was a shadow of what is to come. As opposed to what the Hebrew Roots movement claims, the New Testament teachings of the Apostle Paul are perfectly clear and self-explanatory. Colossians 2:16 and 17 says, "Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink, or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day, things which are a shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ." Romans 14:5 states, "One person regards one day above another, another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind." Scripture clearly indicates that these issues are a matter of personal choice. These verses and many others give clear evidence that the Mosaic covenant laws and ordinances have ended. Continuing to teach that the old covenant is still in effect is, in spite of what the New Testament teaches, or twisting the New Testament to agree with the Hebrew roots beliefs, is false teaching. Yes, it would appear that many of today's Christians would tell Paul he is wrong. We do not need to obey the festivals, the new moons, the Sabbath days, as the Jews of old did. America is not in trouble because we failed to observe these things. If so, then Paul is lying to us, and of course he's not. America is in trouble because, just as declared in Romans 1, the people of this nation have progressively become worse and worse in their desire to rebel against God and his moral law. This is also outlined in Psalm 2. That's some powerful reading, too. It says the capstone of this rebellion is seen when the leaders of any nation or the individual people of it begin to reject and persecute Israel and Jews. The BDS movement, Boycott, Divestment, Sanctions against Israel, is a case in point. The people involved in that will reap God's wrath, Genesis 12:3. Avoid that movement and those people, but pray for them. Our nation's leaders have thrown Israel under the bus and have clasped hands with Iran, one of Israel's most virulent enemies. Jonathan Cahn's writings appeal to people who see themselves as being spiritually united with Israel in some form. For those people, there's nothing I can say that will rouse them from their blindness. Christian, if you turn to any form of the Hebrew Roots movement, you are going back to Judaism, something you should avoid. This is what Paul fought against in his letter to the Galatians. Yet this error persists today. America has no spiritual connection with Israel. Learn about Judaism to gain greater depth and insight into God's Word. However, avoid becoming involved in the Hebrew Roots movement in any form. That includes the erroneous teachings of Jonathan Cahn. Now, I went to a great extent there speaking about Cahn, but you know, the point is, charisma did not go to any extent to give you warning or give you any disclaimer. So next week, we will continue to look at some more things from Charisma magazine, and then we will move on to our next magazine, so-called Christian magazine, that's bringing such error and apostasy in the church today. God bless you all. Good night.